Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene is a nonfiction strategy and self-help book that adapts military thinking to modern conflict, competition, and social struggle. Published in 2006, it is structured around 33 distinct strategies drawn from warfare, political history, and the lives of well-known historical figures such as Sun Tzu, Napoleon, Julius Caesar, and others. Greene does not present war as a literal instruction manual for combat. Instead, he uses it as a framework for understanding power, timing, initiative, defense, deception, and psychological pressure in business, relationships, and professional life. The book is designed for readers who want to think more strategically and less reactively when facing opponents, obstacles, or unstable situations. Its method combines historical anecdote with practical interpretation, making it part history book, part tactical handbook, and part critique of human behavior under conflict. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, war as a model for understanding everyday conflict. Greene's central premise is that conflict is a normal and unavoidable part of human life, so it should be studied rather than denied. He argues that people often behave tactically, responding to immediate problems without seeing the larger pattern, while true strategy requires a broader view of goals, rivals, and timing. By framing social and professional competition through military logic, the book encourages readers to identify the underlying structure of a dispute instead of focusing only on surface events. This is one of the book's defining features. It treats conflict as an arena shaped by pressure, fear, ambition, and deception, not simply by logic or goodwill. The military analogy is meant to sharpen judgment. Even when the reader is not in an actual war, the same dynamics of initiative, position, morale, and patience can shape negotiation, workplace politics, and interpersonal struggle. Greene's point is not that life is warfare in a literal sense, but that conflict often rewards those who recognize its strategic dimension early. Secondly, balancing offensive and defensive strategy. A major part of the book is the distinction between offensive and defensive modes of action. Greene presents offense as the posture of initiative moving first, maintaining pressure, and forcing opponents to react on your terms. Defensive strategy, by contrast, emphasizes restraint, endurance, and the ability to absorb pressure without panic. The book repeatedly shows that neither mode is universally superior. Effective strategy depends on the situation, the balance of power, and the opponent's behavior. Greene advises readers to know when to advance and when to wait, because premature aggression can create unnecessary exposure, while passive defense can lead to surrender by default. This balance is especially important in modern settings where open confrontation is often costly. The practical value of the book lies in teaching readers to choose their posture consciously rather than emotionally. Instead of acting from impulse, they are encouraged to assess whether the moment calls for pressure, delay, withdrawal, or controlled response. Thirdly, historical examples as strategic instruction. The book is built around historical case studies, which is one of the reasons it stands out from more abstract strategy writing. Greene draws on military commanders, statesmen, political leaders, and other figures from different eras and civilizations to show how strategic principles recur across time. These examples are not included as decoration. They function as evidence that patterns of ambition, rivalry, miscalculation, and adaptation are durable and recognizable. By comparing figures from classical warfare, modern politics, and other domains, Greene tries to demonstrate that strategy is not tied to one culture or century. This gives the book breadth and makes it feel encyclopedic, even when the examples are condensed. At the same time, the method has a specific purpose readers are meant to learn by analogy. A historical episode becomes useful only when the underlying principle can be translated into present circumstances. The book therefore trains pattern recognition, showing how leaders gain advantage through timing, misdirection, discipline, or psychological control. Fourthly, psychological control, deception, and perception management. Another major theme is that strategy depends heavily on perception, not just force. Greene repeatedly emphasizes that people in conflict respond to appearances, expectations, and emotional pressure. As a result, one of the best ways to gain advantage is to shape how others read your intentions, weaknesses, and capabilities. This includes appearing less threatening than you are, concealing your full plan, and avoiding predictable behavior. The book also highlights psychological steadiness. Panic, vanity, and impulsiveness are treated as liabilities because they make a person easy to manipulate. Greene is interested in how strategy works through mind games, self-control, and the management of information. This is what gives the book its practical edge in negotiation and interpersonal conflict. It is less about brute strength than about shaping the environment in which decisions are made. Readers are encouraged to think about morale, confidence, ambiguity, and misdirection as tools of influence, while also learning to resist being manipulated by the same techniques. Lastly, the book's limits and its distinctive strategic worldview, The 33 Strategies of War, is influential. But it is also controversial because of the way it compares military strategy to ordinary life. Critics have argued that the book has impressive breadth but uneven depth, and that its metaphor can sometimes overstate the similarity between war and everyday relationships or organizations. That criticism is useful because it points to the book's real identity. It is not a neutral history text or a conventional self-help guide. It is a strategic worldview built on the assumption that power relations are central to human affairs. Readers who want a softer or more collaborative model of leadership may find its framing too combative. Even so, the book's value lies in making readers more alert to competition, pressure, and hidden motives. Its distinctive contribution is the combination of historical example, psychological analysis, and tactical caution. Rather than offering a simple formula for winning, it asks readers to become more disciplined observers of conflict, which is why it remains popular among business readers, strategy enthusiasts, and those interested in power dynamics. In conclusion, The 33 Strategies of War is best suited for readers who are interested in strategy, history, power dynamics, and the psychology of conflict. It can be especially useful for people in business, leadership, negotiation, or any environment where competition, rivalry, and pressure shape outcomes. The book offers practical value by teaching readers to think in terms of initiative, timing, defense, deception, and emotional control rather than reacting impulsively. It also has intellectual value because it draws from a wide range of historical examples, making strategy feel like a recurring human pattern rather than a narrow professional skill. What distinguishes it from similar books is its hybrid form. It is at once a historical survey, a tactical guide, and a psychological study of conflict. Unlike more conventional self-help titles, it does not mainly encourage positivity or inspiration. Instead, it asks readers to understand the hard realities of struggle and to respond with discipline and awareness. That makes it a more challenging, but also more distinctive contribution to the strategy genre. If you would like to support Robert Greene, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.